Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, we welcome Snuffy Walden, a session musician and film and TV composer. Snuffy was featured as a performer and composer on the shows 30-something and The West Wing. He even won an Emmy for the main title theme on the show The West Wing. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by our good friends at Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. Go buy something, tell them the Flow sent you. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Flo Dizzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great show for you. We have a bunch of guitars in here. I'm just going nuts because they're just beautiful. Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I am doing good. I just want to remind our listeners that we'll be announcing, once we get back from a commercial break, the winners of the Audio-Technica mics, the ATM 510 and the ATM 610A. So we thank Audio-Technica for that.
Yes, yes.
So, what have you been up to, Jeff?
Well, we finally are getting the pickups put in. My friend's J45 and my little Martin, we're putting in the LR Bags pickups. The Monique Caravello is doing the work for me, and we should have the guitars back. And what we're going to do later on a show, we're going to have LR Bags on, but we're going to actually show. We're going to mic the guitar and then also plug in the pickup so you can A-B and hear the difference of how the pickup sounds and how real and true it is as opposed to just miking it. Though it actually does have a little mic inside of it. So that's coming. As soon as I get the guitars back, we're going to go ahead and lock that date. And we'll have everybody that's been involved in it on the show about that.
Cool.
So what have you been up to?
Man, I've been editing videos and then, preparing for this show. Nothing too crazy this week, but I do have a couple of the Celestion speakers that I'll be taking a look at pretty soon that are their new types, the A-Type and the 90th anniversary from Celestion, which I'm pretty excited to check those out.
Yeah, I'm curious what that one's going to sound like. That sounds like it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's go ahead and go to commercial, and then I want to get in really quick with Snuffy. There's just so much to talk about, and we just don't have a lot of time. But we're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and do the drawing and have the drawing. We'll find out who's winning those microphones. There's two of them, right?
Yeah, so one winner wins one mic, and the other winner wins the other mic.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here, one of the many guitar freaks at Sweetwater. We're proud to support the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show, and we carry a huge line of custom shop and collectible guitars, pedals, and amps from the most sought-after manufacturers. Check this out, sweetwater.com/guitar gallery. You can see hundreds of custom and signature guitars and actually choose your perfect instrument by grain pattern and serial number. Or call us professional guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Speaking of killer guitars and killer guitar players, this week the Flow welcomes the infamous Snuffy Walden. He's one of the most sought-after film and TV music composers alive today. Snuffy penned the theme music for TV shows, 30-something, The Wonder Years, Friday Night Lights, and many, many more, including the main title theme for The West Wing. Have fun as Scott and Jeff visit and jam with Snuffy. Be sure to check us out at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying, rock on with the Flow.
Hey, this is Brent Mason with Jeff and Scott, Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, and enjoyed being on the show, and hopefully we'll get together again, and I'm going to go to bed. Just wait. Thanks, guys.
That's a great clip of Brent. I played that because in honor of you doing Nashville.
Who's playing that guitar?
That's Brent Mason.
Brent Mason. Man.
He's like the most recorded Nashville guitarist ever.
And that's why.
Yeah. He's sick. Like, when we had him on the show, he was going to the Summer NAMM, right? And he's like, yeah, I got to do four sessions before I go to Summer NAMM to basically go show off something. And then he was playing a gig later that night. So
life's
it's kind of sick.
He's really truly busy. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen that kind of crazy session work from. I mean, a lot of guys are. I think George During is the only other guy I know that's so busy that he can't even breathe.
I think his website says he's been on 30,000 recordings or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I think Brent has the record right now as the most recorded guy.
Yeah, he's sick.
But anyway. Let us go ahead and start. It's truly an honor.
Well, we got it.
Oh, that's right, the drawing. I'm sorry.
Yes. So the winners for the Audio Technica. So the first winner will win the 510 mic is Brett Walston. And then the winner for the 610A is Tom Dorsey. So I'll be sending you guys an email after the show and getting your guys' address and be getting your mics out ASAP. So congratulations.
Congratulations, yes. Okay. A while ago, back in the days when there were record stores, I went into Tower Records, and they used to have little listening stations. And I went in there, and that's where I basically learned about a lot of different artists and groups and stuff, because I would check out stuff, and you could just kind of hang there. Well, I was over there, and I saw this album, and it had this beautiful Taylor guitar on the picture. I was like, well, I got to check this out. And I recognized the artist, and I was just blown away. And I just want to play, and that's how we'll open the show, the first thing I heard of the album when I was playing on the thing. So here's a clip of that, and then we'll start with our guest. I was just literally blown away with the clarity and the sustain of that, of the sound of those guitars. Please welcome. It's really an honor to have Snuffy on. Snuffy Walden, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks.
Now, let's get down to brass tacks. What were you using on that tune?
You know, I was using two guitars. I was using an older Martin and I believe an 812 Taylor.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I mean, what the I presume the Taylor was the kind of a strum thing in the side.
Yeah, the brighter
that twang. Real like bright lush sound.
And the Martin was a. Yeah, it was probably mostly a Taylor. I was using about four guitars for that whole record, so. It's kind of a blur.
Well, the name of the album is Music by .. WG Snuffy Walden, and I recommend everybody get the album. It's just the friends that I've shown it to, they've all bought it, and they just were blown away because the guitar sound is just incredible. You get this amazing sustain, and you get this, it's just balanced and all like the middle voices, the middle strings and stuff when you're doing, because you do an interesting style. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. You're not a strummer. You pick. You're picking all of that stuff.
Yeah, I use a flat pick. I used to, when I first started playing, there was a fellow who played pedal steel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started playing electric, probably 4 or 5 years into it, I was seeing this guy play, and I couldn't believe the absolute distinct, every string spoke the same. And I couldn't figure out what it was, and so I talked to him, and he used National finger picks. So for years on electric guitar, I used a flat pick and then two National finger picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I could play, you know, faster, and on an electric guitar, that was great. And when I got into acoustics, as soon as you touch an acoustic with a steel pick, it makes a, you know,
yeah,
all this noise. So I got into playing with my fingers and fell in love with it on acoustic guitar.
Now, you were telling me a little bit of a... you've done something with your nails that James Taylor had told you about?
Right. Well, James uses this gel on three of his fingers. And last time, I guess, we saw him in a concert in New York. And I said, what do you do with your fingers? And they look like claws almost. But it's how he gets that impeccable tone and that beautiful playing that he does. And so I kind of ripped him off. And so I use it on four fingers. And two of them, which I use with the flat pick, but if I'm doing plain finger stuff, it's just clearer.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of a pick sound. So it's just more definitive. It just makes them speak better.
Yeah, well, it the articulation from use right. With my nails, well... I used to have nails, but my nails could never get that clear.
Yeah, mine break.
Yeah, so, well, they wear down a lot, but also too. And I, in when I was in school, all the classical guys were using hard as nails. Sally Hansen's hard as nails, and they basically, it still wore out.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Well, no, I love them. They tear your fingers up, but it's great for playing.
Mm-hmm.
And playing comes before pain before pleasure.
Yeah,
playing before.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you had gone into you were originally from Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
which I think probably your blues roots are from there, and then you basically went to England for a while. And it's interesting because we were talking earlier too that you played in the band Free for a while,
right.
And we had Andy Fraser on a few weeks back and from Free, and he told me to tell you hi.
Oh.
And you said that you also had played with him in his solo band,
right?
What were your influences, and, you know, that must have been an interesting time in the 60s to be in England, because that was where there was so much happening.
I left Texas, actually, because there was five gigs in the state, and, mm-hmm. you know, 50 great guitar players, and Johnny Winter was there, and Billy Gibbons was there, and all these guys had all the gigs, and plus all the blues guys, Muddy Waters, and all those guys would come in all the time. So I went to England, and took a trio over, which was a blues-based kind of trio. And we ended up signing with Emerson, Lake & Palmer and did a world tour with them, two trios, but we were blues-based and they were classical-based. So I got to see a lot of great guitar players, got to see Clapton, and only saw Hendrix here because by the time I got there, he was gone. And those were really my influences at that time, you know, Clapton, Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
I would still go out on the road and carry Clapton's guitar if I could, you know.
Now, you were playing just primarily electric guitar then, or did
right.
you play acoustic?
No, I didn't play acoustic at all. I had a couple of Dobros, but just played them, mostly played slide on them, and just had them because I loved those old metal boxes.
Now, when you were playing in the band, what was your primary guitars that you were using then in amps?
Oh, I was using Terry Marshall. Jim Marshall's son built me a line of amps called Thor amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still find them occasionally in England. One or two will pop up, but they're very rare. And his 100-watt head was like a 200-watt Marshall head.
Oh, wow.
So, and it had an attenuator in it, which if you turn the attenuator up, it would feed the output circuit back into the input. So you could hit big chords, and they would ring. Mm-hmm. Every note would ring clear. It wouldn't have the Marshall crunch, but it was loud and clear and would sustain for days.
Was it tube or solid state?
It was all tube.
All tube. And then what guitars were you using?
I was using a 1952 Les Paul with a patent applied for cream humbucking in the bridge position and a Firebird pickup in the neck position because I liked the balance between the two. That way when I flipped onto my bass pickup, it wasn't so dominant.
That's interesting. But even back then, they were modifying their concept.
Yeah, I wish I'd never modified the guitar, but
I
have that one.
My heart's breaking over here a little bit.
We didn't know back then, you know.
A 56
Strat was just an old guitar.
So. Right, and you were going for a certain sound, so right. That was pretty much, you just used what you needed to get that sound. So, no, that's understandable, but now everybody, over the years, now it's all worth so much money.
Yeah, right.
It's incredible. But, let's talk a little bit about the electric. I'm going to play a clip. It's called Once and Again from the album. And to me, this is pretty much the epitome of what the LA sound was at that time. Not in the 60s, but later. But I want to ask you a little bit about this, what you were using and stuff, because it's a great sound. And listen, he's using electric guitar clean. I mean, there's acoustic guitars in there too. And then he has like a little bit of a dirty kind of guitar in the background when he goes farther into the piece. So take a listen. Here's Once and Again. That electric guitar is just stunning. That's a great. What were you using? Which guitar was that?
You know, I was using a Valley Arts most of the time in those days.
That's a single coil?
That's a single coil, yeah. Well, I had so many different pickups in them. Seymour Duncan used to make great pickups for me. Some of them were single coil. Some of them were mini humbuckers. I can't remember exactly what I used on that, but I used a lot of processing in those days. That was right after I came out of playing a lot of clubs and... this particular show was done in the 90s, so I took that theme material from the 90s, and so I played it probably really processed guitars.
So you processed at the board, or did you process?
No, we processed on a rack, and then and then recorded. I used this stereo guitar rig through tube amps and processed it all before.
Yeah. That was tube, because it's just it's a nice sound, but it sustains, but it's so clear. And during that time, especially during the 70s and stuff, that the session work, when I was doing session work, that's the sound they were looking for.
Yeah.
I wasn't always as successful getting sound, but it was kind of cool. But I mean, that was that kind of a clean, brighter sound. And then on the other hand was the traditional Larry Carlton sound, which was the more bluesier. DB was using the 335, but like the rhythm pickup, and he was getting a little more distortion.
Yeah, but, it's a very sweet sound Larry had, though.
Yeah.
Beautiful sound.
So Snuffy, how has your recording amps and stuff like that changed since, the 90s to now? How are you doing any differently, or?
You know, I use all old tube amps. I've been using, my newest ride is Paul Reed Smith. They built a couple of amps for me. They're great. I was using Matchless before then. I've got a bunch of old Fenders. The technique is really pretty simple. It's usually a 57 right on the speaker, and sometimes I'll mic the room with an 87 or something. It's very straight ahead. And now I don't generally do anything. I just run straight into an amp. I don't process at all.
Okay, so you're not using the rack anymore. You're doing more of the processing after the fact?
For record type stuff. If I'm doing it for the TV shows, I have a full rack that actually George Deering, I matched his rack so that he didn't have to bring it over all the time, and I use it all the time through a stereo rig. But that, if I'm actually recording to get something for myself, I'll use it directly into an amp.
Now, this album that you did here, this was basically just direct through the amp and then you compressed after?
For the most part, there was a couple of tracks in there that I would use, I'd use processing before a stereo rig, but most of it's just playing straight. All the slide stuff and all that is just direct into a groove tube amp, as a matter of fact.
Do you prefer to record your electric guitars in stereo?
You know, I did for a while. I don't find it now. I used a pair of stereo Sheps on my acoustics for years, and now I've kind of gone to an 87, and I kind of like the way it consolidates the sound. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of slide, I'm going to play a clip here, and there's some electric guitars in here. You're doing all the guitars, and then we'll go into a little more detail what you were doing here, because we were talking about this earlier, too, and you mentioned that you were using an interesting pickup setup. This is called Big City, and listen, he's going to do the slide guitar, and then you're going to hear these other guitars coming in and playing, and all 100% taste. You'll love it. You got a lot of stuff in it. There you go.
I haven't played that in years.
Now, I heard at least two lead guitars besides the slide guitar. And then you're doing all these really cool things on the acoustic guitar.
Acoustic, yeah.
Now, which acoustic was that?
That was a Martin.
That was a Martin. Mm-hmm. And then the slide guitar?
The slide guitar was a guitar that Fred Wallachy built for me years ago when I was doing a TV miniseries called The Stand, and it basically was a what he called his Westwood guitar, because it was Westwood music in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he put an old Rickenbacker pickup in it with the horseshoe over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up and played it through, and I know what the amp is. I played it through a Groove Tube amp in the shop when he finished it, and I said, I love this and I love the sound, don't touch a knob. We taped the knobs, and I took the amp and the guitar and went straight to a session and recorded the slide guitar, and that's what I've used always on that guitar.
So. Oh wow, that's a Rickenbacker pickup for
you. Yeah, it's a Rickenbacker.
That's an unusual.
Yeah. In the
because it's not known as a real high gain pickup.
And that one is.
Yeah, that's
that
unusual.
One's great.
And then, what were the two electric guitars?
You know, one is, I'm sure, a Les Paul, my old Les Paul, because a lot of that real bluesy kind of burning bluesy stuff.
The 52.
Yeah, the 52. I always loved using a Paul for that kind of stuff. The other could have been a Strat, it could have been a Valley Arts. I really don't know about the rhythm stuff, but the all the melodic stuff you heard was either a Martin, a 52 Les Paul, or the slide guitar.
Okay, and they're all using the same. You were using the same amp for those?
No, I was probably using what would I have used for that? I don't know. I'd have used some combination of anything that got a nice clear sustain, because that's what mm-hmm. I always really liked, a single note. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
Well, besides the finger picking, I love the counterpoint, what you're doing with the acoustic guitar against what the electric's doing, but you seem to do it well as a true session guy. You do all the different styles really well. And I'm going to play another clip of you doing slide. This is acoustic slide. This is the first part of Eugene's Ragtop.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you, in the background, there's something going on. Are you using just a slide electric guitar, or is that a pedal steel?
I don't know. I'll have to listen.
Okay, we're gonna find out right now.
Thank you.
Okay. So what was going on in the background there, in the, behind the acoustic slide guitar?
And the pads are all done. It was Dean Parks playing with a Sustainiac pickup on a, some form of a Strat kind of guitar. I never liked synth pads, and I didn't like that kind of stuff. And I worked with Dean a lot in the earlier days. As a matter of fact, that's him playing the opening piece, and then he and I are going back and forth because we played it live.
Mm-hmm.
He was using a Weizen Born, I was using a Martin. And he would use the Sustainiac pickup and a lot of delays and play it like a pad. So he would use a volume pedal and Sustainiac pickups and just, he would ride in and ride out. And it would feel like a synth, but it wasn't a synth. And it would, it's just more organic. And
yeah, it's a nice sound.
Yeah, it's a great sound.
I thought it for a minute, I thought like at first, way in the background, I'm like, sounds is that like a, he had that like lower tone, like a darker tone, like a dobro, but it was electric. And then I'm like, god, that sounds,
what
like
is
pedal
that
steel.
Yeah,
it looks like pedal steel, but that's an amazing sound. And so you both were doing slide.
Yeah, we did it live and we played the opening piece back and forth live, and then but he was playing on a Weizen Born and I was playing a Martin, and then we overdubbed to that. We got the kind of, we wanted to get the pacing and the feel out of a, like an old, you know, driving down an old long Kansas road in the hilly country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we were looking for.
Yeah,
so we just played it until it happened.
You know? Yeah. No, the feel is definitely the interaction there. That's a live moment.
Yeah.
That's not something you can just overdub and. Yeah.
I wish I could.
So, Snuffy, you brought some guitars with you. Right now you have your Taylor in with you, which is Alcoa. Can you tell us about this guitar and what you use it for, and then kind of show us the different tonalities between this and your Martins you have back there?
You know, I got this guitar. I've been working on Taylor guitars since mid-1990s, and they sent me this one when they first came out with this Expression system. And I just found the Koa to... It can handle anything. It can handle something gentle. It can the pickup does great work, and it works well as a. It'll handle rhythm stuff in it. It almost compresses. There's something about the wood that doesn't bump out, and it just is very smooth. So I kind of fell in love with this guitar, and this is my go-to guitar live. The Martins, you know, the two Martins I brought a 1939 00028 and a 1936 00042. I think it's a 42. You'd probably know better than I would.
Well, yeah, that's...
But the difference in those guitars is one of them is kind of a go-to for anything kind of chordal. And that's got a great mid-range spike in it. And the sustain on them is just fabulous. So this is the 39 without new strings. And by the way, I change my strings literally after any session or after any gig because I love this, being able to touch it gently with my fingers and be able to get plenty of air out of the sound.
Well, you can hear, I mean, what I'm hearing there is the sustain and the clarity. That's the reason why those guitars are so in demand. And,
yeah.
And those, they made them right back then. I mean, the newer ones are good, but God, that thing is so clean and it's just got the right sound. It's mellow, not too strident, but it's right there, and then all your inner voices are just ringing true.
Yeah, there's something that I think part of it's the new strings, part of it is maybe the way I play with the pads of my fingers and have a little fingernail in between the two. I'm not a fancy player. I don't have tons of chops, never did, but the articulation is really important to me, and that the inner voicing speak, otherwise I don't have much. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you actually, the way you're playing, you might not be playing like all a bunch of cluster of notes or weird rhythms and stuff, but actually your counterpoint get those kind of cool rhythms.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, for our listeners, this is our a pre-war Martin. This is the what Martin is basically trying to duplicate when you buy any of their higher end Martins. I mean, this is
It's a sweet one. This is a pretty big go-to stuff, especially from bluesy stuff.
What is there any famous songs or famous pieces that you've used that on that you can think of? Just out of curiosity.
No, just out of curiosity. What have I used this acoustic guitar on lately? You know, I use it. I feather it in a lot of different shows. I mean, I know I use it on Under the Dome that we did. I had a couple of kind of romantic pieces that I used it on. I use a Greg Grant nylon string occasionally for real sweet. But no, nothing famous.
Is this the one you use on? Do you use these a lot on Nashville?
You know, on Nashville mostly. I'm using a 1959 J50.
Really?
Which we started out having a couple of Martins out in the J50, and we've just gone to completely the J50 now because for two reasons. It's what they use a lot of Gibsons on the show, and also it just has an evenness and a singer songwriter kind of approach. I mean, and I don't pick it up and just play it. If I'm just going to pick up and play, I'll play a Martin or a Taylor. But it just records beautifully for that kind of a strumming thing, where these are much more finger-picking guitars for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk let's go over to the other. We might as well show the other guitar.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about your technique with finger-picking.
Ow. That's $1,000 off the value, isn't it?
Here we go.
Yeah, this is a 1936 00042. And for all you guitar collectors out there, I got it at Guitar Center back in 1990.
Now, Snuffy put on new strings because it was pretty dead, but you can hear just how it just rings.
Sings. I use this on a piece that I did on that record that you have called Sketches of Topanga. I don't know if you have that. It's a much darker Martin with new strings. It rings. Otherwise, it can sound, if you let the strings go dead a little bit, it can almost sound like a nylon guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is out of the two pre-wars. This is the one that I was really digging. Actually, when Snuffy arrived, I was holding the guitar, and as he was talking, granted, he's got a lower timbre voice, but you could actually feel just when he was talking 10 feet away, the top was vibrating.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's real live.
Yeah, really alive. And I play them gently. I don't hammer them too hard unless I'm actually snapping them.
Yeah.
And I'm doing everything in drop D right now for all you guys that are going the tunings wrong.
Is this the one that you were using for the main lead for Angela Smiled, or was this?
No, that was a D28, a 1946
D28. It's just a killer sound. Let me go ahead and play real quick. So I have Sketches of Topanga.
Oh, okay.
So this is the guitar that he was just playing. This is it on the album. Here is Sketches of Topanga.
Thank you.
it just blends with the it really works with the strings. It's got that rich bottom.
It's got such a sweet single note kind of sound. I haven't played that in years. Now, one of the things that gets the tone, which is interesting enough, I don't use what I use on electric guitar in the studio on an acoustic guitar. If I'm playing single note melodies, I use a real small, really thick pick.
Okay.
Generally a Dunlap 1.25 nylon.
Interesting.
You don't hear the snap of the pick. It goes away, and especially on that piece you just played. If you're hearing the snap of a pick all the time, like this is a regular heavy, it with a nylon pick, it just sings.
So you're using a pick there. I thought you were using fingers.
No, I'm using a pick on that.
Okay. Because you do punch it. You get that kind of nice raspy when you go for it.
Well, I snap them a little bit, yeah. I like, especially if I'm hammering.
So since you mentioned that, and you have this guitar right now, let's talk a little bit about that. You use a lot of different things, and you do the snap, and you a lot of harmonics, which is cool. It's really cool. And then, but do you do like you're hitting like the normal the fifth, the seventh fret harmonics? But do you do the harmonics with the finger?
I was never any good at that.
Okay.
I mean, I see guys that do it all the time. Where are we here on this guitar kit? You know, I can do it, but it's not my natural place to go.
Yeah.
The way, you know, years ago, I started doing picking where I mute it with my...
Oh, that's...
Where I'm muting it with my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get... And you get different harmonics. Just depends on where you play it, and you can kind of move around, and that's just using the pad of my thumb right after the pick.
That's amazing on the acoustic guitar, getting that high of a harmonic.
Yeah,
I've done it on electric a lot. But.
You can move it around, and it still works, you know, mm-hmm. Or else I'll use the traditional.
Well, the one thing I'm also noticing about your playing quite a bit is your vibrato. Is there anyone that you've kind of based that off of, or is it just kind of your own natural way you do it because you hear it in all your songs and when you see
it? Or is that just your blues coming out?
No, that's the blues, but more as much of anything, I do it on full chords, and I do it really because I'm so... An out-of-tune guitar drives me nuts. And, you know, guitar is not a perfect instrument anyway. So I found if you play... If I'm bending a chord, then it never goes out of tune.
Yeah.
So yeah, I put a vibrato on pretty much everything.
You do that, and another trademark is you do a turnaround.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just picking it and snapping.
You're snapping it. Yeah. Okay. Because the only other guy I've heard that does that pop really well is George. George Doering.
Doering, yeah.
So, Snuffy, how have you used the guitar to compose like a theme? Like, have you written something on guitar and then just all of a sudden you had to orchestrate it? I mean, can you think of something that maybe you've done and how you've used your guitar?
Or do you write on guitar or do you write on
It depends
keyboard?
On the piece, really.
Because you originally studied piano, right?
Well, I started out on Hawaiian steel guitar when I was five and blew that off and played piano and organ and then got my first electric guitar when I was 13. And that's when I started kind of playing. You know, something like 30-something was always... That was a guitar piece. You know, if you do something like the West Wing, it's... I never play this on guitar. I guess you can. I just have to think about it. But
that's a first, folks. You heard it here first. Which is a beautiful piece, too.
Thanks. But that's more of a, it's really a little gospel tune that I played with my basic three chords on piano. So
interesting. I mean, turned out to be so huge.
Yeah, it did. Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know where the good stuff comes from, you know.
Well, sometimes it's the simple and tasty. It's, I mean, it's 100% taste. That's really what it's all about. But the, so you do the hammer-on, you do the turnaround. You get a nice sound when you dig into the guitar. I know you play light on certain things, but you like to dig in a little bit. And these guitars get that growl that I've only heard a few guys really get that. And one of them is one of my favorites, is Steven Sills. You were mentioning that you get that, like, you know, what he did on, like, Black Queen, where he's just really...
God, I love that.
Get that sound, and that's a great sound.
I loved that record, that solo record, and that tune Black Queen was really influential on me.
Oh wow!
So if I gave it to anybody, it would be Stills, as far as that really snapping and digging in on Martin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because let's talk a little bit about that, and in terms of your guitars, you're using 12s, right?
Right.
Light gauge.
I use a light gauge.
Light gauge string on all of them. You're using, on this one, you're using D'Addario's. Is that pretty much what you use, or do you use anything else? Do you any other type of string?
You know, I've used Martin strings. I just find the D'Addario's, as much as anything, it's the colored ends that help me not string my guitar on, because I string guitars pretty fast. And, you know,
and that's true. We saw him string this thing up in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, because I string them a lot, you know, because I'm always changing my strings. So I don't know. I've just kind of found them to be go-to piece.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally they send me some.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but. And you know, I used Ernie Balls for years, but never on acoustics.
Oh, okay.
And I used Guild for a long time. Probably when I did that record, I was using Guild.
Have you tried any of the strings with the coating on it, the clear tone coating?
I have. I think it's great for guys who don't want to change their strings a lot, but what I find is they're darker than I want, and they don't have that pop for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you first put them on. And I change strings so often that I don't need a guitar that string is going to last a long time.
So what are you using now on your electrics?
On the electrics, I'm using a 9.5.
Oh, but what brand?
I guess they're the D'Addario's.
D'Addario's?
I guess they're D'Addario 9.5. It's a in-between gauge. I used to use 10s, but I tuned down. And then I used 11s for a little while when I tuned down to D a long time ago with Stray Dog. But I find the 9.5 allows me the freedom to bend, and I don't lose all the tone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just got a new set of pickups for my Strat that I'm really looking forward to use. Seymour Duncan sent me a set of these silver. Have you seen them?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard about them? They're wrapped with silver.
Oh, wow.
Rather than copper. And he just sent me a set of them, and I can't wait to get them on a guitar, because apparently silver has less resistance than copper.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's supposed to be a clearer tone and a higher output with a clearer tone, so I can't wait to get them on. They came in this beautiful rosewood box, and...
Oh, you have to let when you record with them, you have to send us an MP3 of that so we can play that.
I'm gonna go test them out this week. So.
Well, you know, actually, they solder in Europe with all silver because they can't use lead.
Yeah.
So silver is they use silver for a ton of stuff.
But I've never heard of the winding silver instead of silver. Copper. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and it'll go up in value as time.
That's true.
Now, they ain't cheap. I'll trust me on that.
Speaking of silver, I don't know if your guitar is silver, but you mentioned that you have a Zemaitis 12 string.
Oh, I do. Tony Zemaitis built a 12 string for George Harrison back in 1973. It's a D-hole, solid mahogany. I guess it's mahogany. Yeah. Mahogany back and top. I'm not sure what the top is, but it's kind of brown. It's a D hole. It's not a round hole, and it's not a heart-shaped hole like Clapton had. George didn't like it, so Tony had it there. So he changed the headstock plate to say Snuffy Walden, and he put a little piece of tape over the label and wrote my name on it. But underneath there, it says George Harrison, because I saw it. I'm not going to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of
sound? What is it?
It's a real bell-like sound for a 12-string. It's real It's. Did you ever hear Greg Lake played one on?
Yeah, he used it. I mean, his stuff.
You Turn Me On. Still,
yeah.
Still, You Turn Me On. That was his Amadeus, and it's a real belly sound. It's real light and fragile, but they play great, and they're so alive. And yet you can actually do some intricate chording with them. For me, a 12-string's a little clunky, you know, to do some, what Leo Kottke or something does. I mean, he must have hands like,
yeah,
know,
he does.
Vices.
Yeah, it's amazing what he does. But have you ever used the 12-string with slide and stuff like
that? No, never tried it.
Because that's one of Leo's trademarks. Leo Kottke's trademark is slide 12-string. Yeah. But that's true. This Amadeus had that unique type of bell-like sound.
Yeah, real high-end. The high-end was beautiful on him.
Did Harrison eventually have another one made?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he had a star. I think it was like a star or something in the sound hole. It was different.
Yeah,
it
I think that was what he used on My Sweet Lord, if I'm correct.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it wasn't like any other 12-string I ever heard. And Greg Lake, too. His sound was totally different.
Well, Greg's the reason I got it, because I was signed with Emerson, Lake & Palmer's label. And Greg had that one, and I really wanted one. And Tony had just moved from London to... I can't remember. But the label still says London, and then he scratched it out and put the name of his new location at the studio. So it's really kind of a collector's item.
It's kind of cool, though, that Manicore, is their label, would have a blues act. I think that is so... Back then, that was the kind of thing it was. They would do, you know, it didn't matter. It wasn't typecast.
No, well, that was Greg Lake. Greg Lake was a big fan of what I did in the studio, and they saw us live, and then took us into the studio, and then we reformed a band around me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that turned out to be Stray Dog.
So, Snuffy, now that you've talked a little about the acoustics, I know you kind of covered a little bit earlier, but how do you record your acoustics?
You know, back when I did that record, most of the acoustics guitars were done on a matched pair of stereo Sheps through a stereo Neve compressor.
And so did you put them like in a Y format, you know, one down by
an
the
bay? XY right here.
Oh, really? Okay.
XY down right about where the neck joins the body.
Is it the 14th fret?
Right. Around there. And I've gone more and more, especially for, say, a show like Nashville where I'm playing a Gibson, where I just run a mono 87 and put it about a foot and a half away.
Interesting.
And I find that, there again, I'm not playing bluesy, melodic, solo stuff.
You know? Right. But when you're layering stuff, like, well, like that song, like where you had, there's a couple of songs where you have a lot of different guitars going, at least three. Do you tend to go mono?
No.
So you can, did them all stereo?
I do them stereo, and then we'll take one side or something, whichever side worked best if it's too thick. But I like hearing it when I'm playing it. I like hearing I like a guitar to hug me when I'm playing it. You know, I like it really compressed, and even if we don't end up using it on the final record, I want to feel like I can hit that chord and it just hugs me.
Right. But then when you mix that stuff, when you were in mixing, would you like have one guitar like a little off center to hard left, so you got like a stereo to the side and then a stereo?
Sometimes, but to be really honest, I played rock and roll way too long for me to be the guy who mixes, who decides where the guitar sits.
Okay.
You know, if you leave it up to me, you'll walk in and the high end is like 3K. It's like just piercing and parting your hair, you know, because for years I played next to drummers and with big stacks of gear, so you know, my high end is a little, I got a notch, about a 60 dB notch at 3K.
Okay.
So I have to be careful when I'm in there mixing guitars.
Yeah.
I generally have somebody who will double check me. So.
Okay, but I mean, it's interesting because miking all that stuff in stereo and mixing, it's clean. I mean, I can hear all the parts. That's what's amazing, because I would think that running everything in stereo would get cluttered, but it seems to be pretty clean.
Well, Avi Kipper, who did that whole record with me, engineered all that record and mixed it, was great with miking me up all the time, and then he would split out sides of, you know, my stereo patch, and just to get it clear for mixing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cregan also, who co-produced the record with me, was kind of instrumental in that. He was an English guitar player, and he helped kind of sort all that out. But I like, for me, when I'm recording, I really like to feel a stereo in my head.
Mm-hmm. No, that's it. The sound, I get what you're saying, because it's just so full. And if you listen to the album too, in headphones, you can hear, you can kind of get that hugging effect that you're talking about.
There's something special about that. When then you can play so light and so delicate, and the guitar will sing for you. You know, that's mm-hmm. That's what I love about recording it with a lot of compression. And we don't usually use it live. I mean, don't use it at the final product, but I love it when I have it because I want to hit a note and sustain it and just really be able to feel it, because I don't play a lot of notes. I really don't. I'm not a busy
player. Well, yeah, and the album, you'll hear that the notes just ring. I mean, it's just, but I'll have to admit, a lot of it's the guitars. They do sustain a lot.
I tend to gravitate to guitars that do that.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something because these are pretty old guitars and now would be very, very expensive. I know even then they were expensive when you bought them years ago. What do you think of the new stuff? Anything that sticks out for you? I know you like the new Taylor 800 series, but anything? How do you like the new Martins? Have you played them? Have you, or any other guitars that kind of stick out to you?
I haven't really played them. I'd love to, and I can't remember the name of the guitar that James Taylor uses. I can see the headstock. I've always kind of wanted to play one of those, but I really don't pick up many new guitars. There again, I play Taylors, and that's all I use live. And I use them a lot for recording, but I don't, you know, I got to be careful picking up a guitar because I'll buy it, you know. It's a really bad addiction that I have. I've got about 100 instruments, and I really ought to clean the closet and get rid of the ones I don't play because they should be played.
I've got some room if you know.
Yes. One thing you asked me about earlier that you didn't touch on, when I'm playing acoustic slide, mm-hmm. I use a little 1917, I think, or 1918 Washburn. A little tiny parlor guitar, mm-hmm. which sounds great for a slide. If you crank the compression up and use a real heavy, I use when I'm playing slide with that little guitar, I'll use a socket from a socket wrench set.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's really heavy, and it makes your vibrato slow, which is great. Mm-hmm. And it's like having a moving nut on your guitar. It's just fabulous.
Yeah, that's a great sound. Yeah. We were talking about that. The old Washburns were made by Lyon and Healy, the harp company that's made most of the famous classical harps, which is kind of interesting. I picked that up because I have an old little Washburn myself.
I love them.
They're cool.
I love the small body guitars. I'm very partial to them.
Yeah. Well, we just scratched the surface. We're already out of time, and I just want to
really?
Thank you. We have to, you just yeah. definitely yeah. It's we're even running late, but it's amazing. There's just so much more. You got to come back
anytime.
And are you going to be doing another album?
You know, people ask me
Please?
About that all the time. I just between right now, I'm scoring 4 TV shows, and I've got an electric band, and I've got. A young lady named Sarah Nimitz a fabulous singer that mm-hmm. I'm working with acoustically all the time. I just really don't find the time to, it takes a lot of time to do it. I did that record in between all these other things, and it was difficult to do. But that being said, I may do a Christmas record, which I'm actually thinking about.
Your YouTube video that you have, the first Noel?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm thinking about doing a Christmas record.
And you have to re-release that L.A. Blues.
The L.A. Blues Alliance, yeah.
Yeah, that's out of print, but it's like, I want to hear that.
Oh, that's fine. I'll bring you a copy.
Oh, okay. That's a deal. That's a deal. Okay, well, listen, everybody. Thank you again, Snuffy. It was really and check out www.snuffywalden.com and anywhere on Amazon or whatever, the album, his album... Music by W.G. Snuffy Walden. Please check it out. It's really great. You're going to love the sound of it. If you ever want to know what the epitome of great acoustic guitar tone, that's it. And
thanks.
You heard the guitars here today. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, and we want to thank Sweetwater. And then
yes.
Next week we have Andy Fuchs from Fuchs Amps. And then in studio we'll have Buzzy Featon.
Oh, Buzzy. Tell him I said hi.
I will. And I cannot remember the other guy's name. But Buzzy Featon's pretty awesome to have in studio.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk to him about his tuning system. I'm very curious about that. Anyway, I'm going to leave us with 30-something. And this is a cool arrangement of this from the album Music By. And... everybody have a great week, and thank you, Snuffy, for being
Thanks,
on the
guys.
Show.
Thank
Good night, everybody.
You.